Your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, I want to speak about the prodigal son's father this morning. While you're turning, I want to give you some things that dads say. Some of these are some pretty good advice, and some of these are just things that dads say. Kind of gleaned them from a number of different sources and some personal things included in here as well. People will judge you by the way you look. For example, in a job interview. Remember that when considering a hairstyle, clothing, piercing, tattoo, etc. As long as your feet are under my table, you'll follow my rules. If you need someone else to make you happy, you'll both end up miserable. We can do it the easy way or the hard way. Fair. You want fair? That's where you take cows and pigs to win a ribbon. There's your definition. I'd rather thank you than spank you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm helping you hear. Everyone's not doing it or going because you aren't. Always carry your driver's license with you. It makes it easier for the police to identify the body. You're about to get your mother's fool in trouble. Learn to laugh at yourself. You'll never run out of material. Stop your crying or I'll give you something to cry for. How many of you heard or used that one? What are you crying for? It didn't hurt that bad. And then I dare say probably the most universal dadism of all. Ask your mother. Luke chapter 15, let's begin reading in verse 11. If therefore we have... I guess I better get the right chapter. That was chapter 16. Chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. As he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I'll rise and go to my father and will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger or in his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Parenting is probably one of the most important, but also one of the most difficult roles of the human experience. It can be the most rewarding. It can also be the most heart-wrenching, and sometimes even in the same hour. As a parent, we're charged with the responsibility of molding a life or lives that will not only affect that individual child, but their children and those after them possibly, as well as those they come in contact with and influence through the rest of their lives. So with the raising of a child, we have the potential to affect many generations to come. And I dare say that we all struggle with this role. There are times when you just don't know what to do, when you don't know how to handle a situation. And you do your best to do right, but sometimes we get it wrong, don't we? And then you've got, oftentimes, along with that, to have to endure an angry and bitter child, and criticism from others. Sometimes we get it right, and you still end up with an angry and bitter child, and criticism from others. But you do your best. That's all you can do. This father faced a tough situation. I'm going to read some things into this morning, but I don't think I'm stretching it too far to do this. Certainly, it's imagination, but you think about this young pup. He's reached the stage in life where he has all the answers. Reminds me of an incident just this morning. I have been driving legally for over 50 years. I have a Class 1 CDL, which I have had for over 40 years. I am licensed to drive a school bus and have done so. I've driven semis, I've operated road graders, excavators, backhoes, bulldozers, hours upon hours in a tractor seat. I mean, the experience that I have is pretty broad. And the hours behind the wheel that I've spent of various types of vehicles and equipment is just who knows how many. I'm even a licensed motorcycle rider. Now, I'm not saying that everything I do behind the wheel is proper and everything. But we have someone in our house, I won't identify them by name, who's had a learner's permit for 5 days. Has spent maybe a total of 2 hours behind the wheel in those 5 days. And yet from the back seat this morning, in his infinite wisdom, he offered me some counsel about what I should do in a given situation. That's what this father is facing. He's got all the answers. Dad's just an old-fashioned stick in the mud who's stuck in the dark ages, bent on eradicating any shred of fun from his life. He's forced to do chores and other work around the farm, help it out. And the old man is just absolutely opposed to everything that he wants to do. Tired of it. Fed up. Got to get away from here. They've argued. They've fought. Discipline has been administered. And the son has just gotten more angry and more bitter and rebellious. He's had enough. He demands his fair share so he can leave this dark, dull isolation of the backwoods farm that they live on, this place and people, for the lights and glamour and excitement of the city and all the opportunities that await there and all the fun things that there are going to be able to do. Someone suggested, and I can't confirm this, but I can accept the possibility of it, that this son's demand for his portion is beyond the norm. Because normally they would wait till death or near death to begin to distribute their shares to their offspring. I mean, that's what Jacob did. It was basically on his deathbed when he handed out the blessings and so forth to his children. So that seems to be in keeping. So what this amounts to is a public insult and shame to this father, this demand of his fair share to go and take and squander how he chooses to do. In effect, what he's doing is wishing for his father's early demise. I wish you were dead. You ever heard that? That's the kid. That's the situation that this father is in. And he's at the end of his rope. Weary of the constant conflict, the stress and the trials and just getting nowhere with this child. And in despair, he throws his hands up and says, okay, I'll bear the public shame. And I'll take half of my property, of everything, and distribute it to you. And the son, as quickly as he can, takes his portion, liquidates those assets, probably for pennies on the dollar, as the father stands by and watches this taking place. All of his hard-earned labor, and knowing how, number one, it's not getting true value paid for it, and number two, what's being paid is just going to be wasted. And his heart's crushed as he watches this take place. And his son takes that money and just skipping away, heads off down the road. His dad watches with tears in his eyes as the image of his son slowly shrinks. And at this point, you cue up the wagging tongues. Those looking on from the outside, but have to say something about it, you know. Oh, he shouldn't have done that, you know. Why'd you give in to him? And on and on and on the speculation and so forth goes. As this heartbroken father with tears streaming his cheeks watches his son slowly disappear, wondering if he'll ever see him again, questioning, doubting, going over in his mind, man, what could I have done different? What if I had done this instead of that? What if I hadn't got upset that time? And on and on and on, running through his mind as his heart is breaking and he watches him disappear. Will I ever see him again? This is the scenario. Let's look now first. There's two boys in this story. We just read about the one, didn't read about the other. But you think about these two boys with the same father, and yet so different, aren't they? But yeah, they both got their problems. The one is self-centered, entitled, living in the moment. You know, it's what I can grab right now, the excitement I want to have, the fun I want to be involved in. The other is a stubborn, self-righteous, and uncaring. Neither boy is perfect. And right away we might say, well, what a failure this father was. Nah, not necessarily. You know, I've seen some kids from real bad families turn out real good. And I've seen some kids from real good families turn out real bad. No parent sets out to do a bad job of parenting. We fail, we make mistakes, we're human. But you know what? In the end, the child makes a choice. It's their decision. And we can't go the rest of our lives beating ourselves up because of the decisions that our children made. You do the best you can, and then you leave it to God. Amen. Sometimes we mess up. But sometimes, it's just the bent of that child. Amen. And it's nothing you did or did not do that affected that. They just choose wrong. Well, I go through my life, especially before I was saved, but even afterwards, I made some bad choices, real bad choices. The two lads. Secondly, notice this, his labor. His responsibility was to train the children. And I want to look at some things and point out that I think that this father did some of the right things. I don't think this rebellion of either of these children is a fault of the father in this case. Because if you take a look at it, first, his responsibility, our responsibility as a parent is to teach him to know God, to love him, and to serve him. Let's just look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. So there's a generational thing there. We've got a responsibility to think about not only this current generation that we're dealing with, but the generations that are to come after them as well. It says verse 3, "Hear thou therefore, O Israel, and observe to do, and that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land which floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and in thy gates." It's to be just kept before them the whole time. You know, you can't change the heart of another individual. But what you can do is to put before them that which has the power to do that. And try to put that into them. As Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from that." Now, I don't believe that's an absolute promise, but I believe it's a principle that has effect. Not all the time, because still there's that individual choice that's involved in that thing. But I think more times than not, it does have the effect that we desire. But our first responsibility, and I believe that this father did this, both of them, how to conduct them, how to know and love and serve God. The second thing is this. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. We need to train our kids to work. We talked to employers today, and one of their most greatest frustrations is finding young people that are willing to work. Because most of them just want to get. They want the paycheck, but they don't want the work that goes into earning that paycheck. This entitlement society in which we live. But teach him to work. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Chapter 13 and verse 4. "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Well, you know, as a parent, I've struggled with this at times to help them to understand, you know, get out of bed, do something. Get away from the stupid video thing for a while and do something. Don't be a sluggard. Put the phone away and do something. Chapter 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. And chapter 28 and verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Are you going to attend to what you need to do, or are you just going to go off with the crowd? You know, the vain persons. If you work, it will benefit you. And I believe this father did that. Because even though this son, he wanted everything that was fair to be given to him, and he took off and wasted all of it on riotous living, which who knows what that included, but I'm sure it's probably a pretty broad spectrum of things. What did he do when he ran out of money? He went to work. He went to work doing a pretty nasty job. I think that was part of the father's training. He knew how to take care of himself when he got out there. In spite of the bad choices he made, in spite of the foolishness of the decision that he made, he knew what to do when the chips were down. He taught him to work. And we as parents need to be sure to do that. And then he taught him his role, the role in life. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I see this as a problem in our society today too. You know, we always used to hear, children should be seen and not heard. Now, some people don't like that. And I realize that maybe there's some applications of that that are wrong, but I think there's some validity to that. I've got a broad experience of things that I've done in my lifetime. And the one thing I've learned is, when you're new at something, keep your mouth shut and your ears open. Your ears and your eyes open. You need to learn. And there's times when I've not followed that maxim and suffered for it. Until you know what's going on, it's best to keep your mouth shut and listen and learn. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet. Isn't it interesting that he says we have to study to do that? Because we always want to reveal our vast resources of knowledge, don't we? Especially those who are so lacking in it. Study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Do your job. Do what you're told to do. And when you get some experience, then maybe you can start to pipe up a little bit. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Quick to hear. Studying to be quiet. Listen. Learn. The training of our children to know and love God. How to work. And how to be quiet till it's the proper time to speak up. The third thing I want us to see about this, and we've seen the boys, the lads, we've seen the labor of the father, the parent. The third thing is this, his letting go. I think one of the hardest roles as a parent is letting go. I mean, we always want to make sure our kids are all right, don't you? You don't want anything bad to happen to them. But you know, there's a point where it's out of your control. You've done everything that you can. You've provided the safety that you want to provide for them. But there are some things that are just completely and totally out of your control. And as a parent, what we need to do is start preparing to let them go. I heard a guy say one time, you know, we got an empty nest now. The kids are all gone and out. It's time to see if anything we taught them stuck. And let them go. Let them come to you if they want something. Because you know what happens when you stick your nose in where it's not asked for? It just gets you in trouble. And it separates. Prepare to let them go. You need to loosen the reins a little bit while you still got some control. Because if you just drop them all of a sudden, I mean, if you're riding a horse and you do that, what happens? It's gone. Same thing with a kid. You need to give them some freedom, some opportunity to make some choices at home while you still have the chance to pull back and say, whoa, wait a minute here. You got a little bit too much head. Let's hold back. Let them make some choices and suffer the consequences of those choices. You know, you can't program our kids to never sin, to never do wrong, to never run away. If we could, we'd be greater than God. Because God's kids aren't programmed to not sin, to not do wrong, or to never run away. Right? Amen. If God can't do it, how do we think we can? Prepare to let them go. Let them have some freedom. And again, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That you begin to see that, okay, some of it's stuck. Maybe the direction going isn't exactly what I wanted or what I would choose. It's not your choice. It's theirs. They're the ones that will suffer the consequences. Amen. When it comes to my children and colleges, career choices, I'll try to guide them and help them with that, but that they're the one that has to live with the choice. It needs to be theirs, not dad's and mom's. Let them go. Let them have that opportunity. This father, as he was standing there watching that son heading off into the distance, he's not only letting the kid go, he's letting half of everything that he's worked in his entire life to that point for go. That's rough. Knowing what's out there, knowing the obstacles, the dangers, the traps that are laying in wait for that boy as he goes. But he still realizes he's come to the point where I can't do anymore. I've got to let him go and see what the choice will be. And what was the choice? Yeah, that boy went down. He went way down. I mean, to the point where he's so hungry, he's willing to eat what he's feeding the pigs. It's not really an appetizing thought, is it? You ever been that hungry? But then it says, he came to himself. He says, you know what? I'm a fool. Because my dad's servants are better off than I am right now. And I realize that I've messed up. I've messed up bad. But maybe, just maybe, if I go back and humble myself before my Father and recognize that I don't deserve to be His son, because I've taken what His hard-earned labor and I've wasted it on my selfishness. But maybe, just maybe, there's a bit of compassion there that He will allow me to be a servant. And so He gets Himself up out of that pig pen and He starts that long walk back home, knowing how He has shamed His Father by the choice that He made. The choices that He's made. Knowing that He's, before He gets to His Father, He's more than likely have to going to get past some of those wagging tongues that have been tormenting His Father and just waiting for the chance to leech onto Him. But He goes anyway. And He gets there. And it says, let's start in verse 18 again, back in Luke 15. Let's start in 17. When He came to Himself, He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll rise and go to my father." See, He says, you know, my dad's not so bad after all. Look how He takes care of His servants. They got plenty. "I will arise, go to my father, and say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And He rose and came to His father, but He was a great way off. His father saw Him and had compassion and ran and fell on His neck and kissed Him. My last point this morning is the Father's love. His love. I mean, think about the condition of this Father's heart. We don't know how many years have elapsed. I'm thinking it's probably years, plural. But I don't know that for a fact. But His heart, think about the condition of it. Scarred, but still touchable. Amen. Aching, but still caring. Rejected, but not resentful. Compassionate, not seeking any revenge. Just glad to see the Son. A great way off. He's been watching. Probably every night, looking in the same direction He saw Him disappear sometime before. And just hoping for this day. And suddenly in the distance, He sees that figure. And He looks. And in spite of the Son's condition at this point, something about it is familiar to Him. And as He gets closer, He's more and more sure, that's Him. My eyes aren't deceiving me. And it says, a great way off, the Father ran to Him and fell on this stinking, filthy, disgusting human being in rags probably. And it says He falls on His neck and He hugged Him and He kissed Him. Because He still loves Him. And has been longing and praying for this day since the Son left. He knew what the world does to people. He accepted His Son's apology. Look at this. The Son had the speech all worked out. I'm not worthy. Go to my Father. I've sinned against heaven and before thee, verse 18, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And He rose, came to His Father. When He was yet great way off, His Father saw Him and had compassion, ran and fell on His neck and kissed Him. And the Son said, now He's ready to give the speech that He had rehearsed. Father, I have sinned against heaven. That confession. You know, sometimes that's needed. It may not be required of the Father, but it's needed of the Son. I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And that's all the speech he got out. I'm not worthy. Look at the Father. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Well, now, in this household, whose robe would be the best robe? Bring my best robe and put it around this poor, shivering child. Get him warmed up. Get him cleaned up. And put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. He'd been watching, but for all he knew, he'd never see him again. But he says, now, he's come back to me. This my son was dead and was alive again. He was lost and is found, and he began to be merry. Dads, parents, they heard us. And sometimes intentionally so. Amen. We need to be ready to forgive, like this father was. I think that tells his spiritual character as much as anything. Yeah, I've a couple of funerals that I've gone to in the last couple of months. It just breaks my heart to see how families are torn apart. One brother didn't even show up at his brother's graveside service because of a rift in the family. One son did not attend his mother's memorial service because of a rift in the family. How sad. That we allow some, and oftentimes it's just some petty little thing. Some one person's opinion against another person's opinion about something or how something should have been done. And those I don't think are isolated incidents. I've experienced it time and time again of family members who don't talk to each other because of something that happened years ago. Something I didn't think was fair. We need to be forgiving. Especially if we're a child of God, we need to be forgiving. Well, you don't know what they did. What have you done to God? While we are yet sinners, he died for us. We're to forgive as he forgave us. What have you done to him? There's nothing that someone has done to you that can compare to what your sins have done to our Father. And yet he forgave. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, we're to forgive others. Do they deserve it? No, neither did you. Forgive. And to be willing to accept. Now I understand there's times when that doesn't mean you open the checkbook to the person. There still needs to be some wisdom in that thing, but you still need to forgive them. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight, this morning, that's got somebody in your life you need to forgive. Maybe there's somebody this morning that needs to go to somebody in here or somebody in your family and seek forgiveness. Show the example of the Father in this story. Because he's a picture of our Father in heaven. Maybe there's somebody spiritually that needs to get some things right with their Heavenly Father. Today's the day to do that. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, oh God, help us to be forgiving, to be loving. We live in a very coarse, a very harsh world, a very unforgiving world, a very hateful world, Father. Whether it's as bad as it's ever been or worse, I don't know, I can't really speak to that, but it's not good. And what this world needs, God, is to see us, to be forgiving, to have compassion, to show the love of Jesus Christ in and through our lives to others, especially to those of our own household. Whether it be our immediate physical family or our church family. God, so many churches allow little grievances and things to come between them, and they get mad and they say things and they do things to destroy each other. You hate that, Father. Well, God, help us to be forgiving. And help us, God, to work to lift up and encourage one another rather than to tear down. Lord, speak to the hearts as you see the need here this morning, whether there's some need of seeking forgiveness or making things right with somebody. Help them to not delay in doing that. God, work, and may your name be glorified as a result of that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.